That same gospel, the amazing love that we just sang about, that same gospel 2,000 years ago was proclaimed by the Apostle Paul in a beautiful city called Thessalonica. He came to Thessalonica and he went to the synagogue and he proclaimed the amazing love, the blood that was spilt for the people of Thessalonica. Some of them believed that gospel, and a church was planted. The Apostle Paul went on to preach in other places, but he was worried about the people of Thessalonica. Because when the people received the gospel, they received it amid much opposition. There was persecution, as there was in almost every city back when the gospel was first preached. There was persecution, and Paul was concerned, he was worried that this life-changing message of the amazing love of Jesus would be lost to the people of Thessalonica. He was concerned, so he sent Timothy. He said, "Timothy, go to the city of Thessalonica because I'm worried about them. That because of the persecution, they have fallen away from the gospel. I haven't heard from them." There was no internet. There was no email. No one could send a message on Facebook. Paul was worried. He sent Timothy. And Timothy brought back a report, and it was a praise report. Timothy brought back a report, and he said, "The people of Thessalonica, they still believe the gospel, and they love each other, and they love you." And Paul wrote a letter. He wrote a letter back to that church and sent it back to them. It's a beautiful letter. And as I read the letter over and over and over again this week, it struck me that it gives us, within the letter, we see a blueprint for how a pastor is supposed to minister. And we also see a blueprint of how people sitting under the teaching of the gospel should respond. The book of 1 Thessalonians is a role model for me and for Carrie and for the other elders. It is also a role model for those of you sitting in the pews right now. It provides a role model for both. And above all, it shows you what happens when the gospel comes into a city in the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to have this letter from the Apostle Paul passed down and preserved to us these 2,000 years. This letter is a treasure. And we pray, Heavenly Father, as we have the honor and privilege of reading the entire letter and of studying it together, oh, Heavenly Father, that the same Holy Spirit that touched the church in Thessalonica would touch us. Bless our service, God. May this service not be something that carries on without your power. We express our impotence to you today, and we just express that if this is just going to be the next 30, 40 minutes, a man talking, It's just going to be dust and death. Please bless this service. And may the Word of God and the Spirit of God bless the people of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please open to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. In your New Testament. Please follow along with me as we read chapter 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia, for the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything, for they themselves report about us, what kind of reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Notice verse 5. Our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. We're going to look at the results of that Holy Spirit power as we study this letter today. Can you see, can you hear Paul rejoicing when he gets the report back from Timothy of their steadfast faith in Christ? Paul is rejoicing, and his joy over them comes out throughout the letter. I've given you notes today, and this is very simply encouragement for leaders and followers. Encouragement for leaders and followers. Number one, leaders should provide a good example. And that's chapter 1, verse 5. And very simply, in the next verse, followers should imitate them. Followers should imitate them. Number three, leaders should expose idolatry in the lives of their people. Leaders should expose idolatry in the lives of their people. We may not worship statues in this country today, but the apostle tells us that greed can be an idol. There is idolatry. One author has said that the human heart is an idol factory. And if we don't choose to worship God, we will create another idol. We will find something to worship or someone. The human heart is an idol factory, and the job of the pastor is to get to know you so that I can see the idol in your life and lovingly come up to you and say, "That's your idol." Leaders should expose idolatry in the lives of their people. And number four, followers should forsake their idols and turn to God. Let's look at chapter 2, 1 through 8. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. But after we'd already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition. By the way, you can read about this in Acts 16 and 17. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. But we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our lives, because you had become very dear to us. What an excellent role model of a pastor. Look in your notes. Number five. Leaders should avoid error, impurity, deceit, people-pleasing, flattering speech, and greed. But instead, faithfully teach the gospel entrusted to them. Number six, leaders should not seek glory from men. Number seven, leaders should be gentle, tenderly caring for their people like a mother. And number eight, leaders should follow the example of Paul, who loved his people dearly and shared his life with them. You can see this book of 1 Thessalonians just gives us a wonderful example and a blueprint to follow, both for the leader and for the people. Let's look at verses 9 through 12 at chapter 2. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day so as to not be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the glory of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Number nine, leaders should make every effort to not be a financial burden to their people. Paul says, I worked day and night so that I would not be a burden to you. Number 10, leaders should behave devoutly, uprightly, and blamelessly. That's a call that we all have, and depend on God and his grace to do that very thing. And number 11, leaders should instruct their children like a father. Let's look at verses 13, 14, and 15. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ who are in Judea. For you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out. They are not pleasing to God, but hostile to all men. Number 12, followers should accept the Bible as the Word of God. Verse 13 again, we thank God that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the Word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God. Number 13, followers should endure suffering for Christ. Followers should endure suffering for Christ. Let's look at the rest of chapter 2. 16, hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved, with the result that they will always fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in person, not in spirit, were all the more eager with great desire to see your face, for we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, more than once, and yet Satan hindered us. For who is our hope or joy or crown of exaltation? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. For you are our glory and joy. Number 14. Leaders should eagerly desire to be with their followers. Leaders should eagerly desire to be with their followers. And 15, here is just a fact. Committed Christian followers are the joy of leaders. Committed Christian followers are the joy of leaders. The Apostle John says in his third epistle, he says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in truth. Can you relate to that? As parents, can you relate to that? There's no greater joy. There's no greater joy than to hear of your children walking in truth. Truth. Isn't that the most important thing? It's the most important thing. If they're successful, fine. If they're happy, fine. But that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that they walk in truth. And spiritual leaders are the same. There's no greater joy to a pastor than when his people walk in truth. Let's look at chapter 3. Chapter 3, 1 through 5. Therefore, what's the therefore, therefore? It's pointing back. He says, my hope or joy or crown, is it not even you? You are our glory and joy. I tried to come to you. I was worried about you. Are you still walking in truth? Do you still believe the gospel? Has the seed of the gospel been torn away from you through affliction or persecution or the worries and cares of this world? I have no greater joy than if you're walking in truth. And I wanted to visit you, but I couldn't. Therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens, and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith, so that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. Indeed, while we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we are going to suffer affliction, and so it came to pass, just as you know. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you, and our labor would be in vain. Number 16, leaders should be sincerely concerned about the spiritual welfare of their followers. Paul warns the people day and night, it's going to be tough, it's going to be tough, it's going to be tough. You're going to be persecuted, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be persecuted. And I warn you the same thing. It is getting tougher and tougher and tougher to be a follower of Jesus Christ in this country. Even as we celebrate Memorial Day tomorrow, we celebrate our spiritual freedom. We are celebrating something that is slowly going away. It will be tougher and tougher and tougher in this country to follow Jesus. And your elders are worried about you, just as we worry about ourselves. Look at verses 6 through 10 with me. 1 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 10. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we long to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live, if you stand firm in the Lord. What thanks can we render to God for you in return, for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account? As night and day, we keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. I've got two for you. Number 17, followers should be thankful for their leaders, thinking kindly of them. And number 18, leaders should be thankful for their followers and are comforted when their followers stand firm in the Lord. They're comforted when their followers stand firm in the Lord. We'll finish up 11 through 13. Now, here's this beautiful prayer. Now may our God and Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Now, just as many of Paul's epistles, you can ask yourself a question: what was going on in the church? Timothy brought back a report, and Paul was really happy about that report, but what else do you think Timothy said? Let me review with you something very important. What is the best source of background information for the Bible? The Bible. It is very important that when you study the scriptures, that you know what's happening historically back then, so you can bridge that gap and know what God is saying to us now. But I want to encourage you. I have a library full of books. They're helpful. But all you've got to do to know what was happening in the church in Thessalonica is to read the book of Thessalonians. You read the book of Thessalonians and you can see very clearly what they were struggling with. And now Paul in chapter 4 is going to transition. He's been rejoicing over them and reporting about how the gospel came in power. But now in chapter 4, he's going to address some of the struggles they are having. And he's going to do it in love, and he's going to do it boldly, and he's going to do a wonderful job as their pastor. Take a look, chapter 4, verse 1. Finally, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. What do you mean by that, Paul? What do you mean by that, Paul? That is that you abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God. And that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and to attend to your own business and work with your hands just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. What was happening in Thessalonica? Very simple. They were struggling with sexual immorality. They were struggling with working with their hands and minding their own business and being a blessing to others. And some of them have died. And they were grieved because the Lord had not returned, and their loved ones had passed away, and they were wondering what was happening to them. They're waiting for Jesus to come back, and these poor saints passed away before the Lord had returned, and there they were, and they're wondering what was happening. And Paul charges them with God's standards for sexuality, God's standards for love, God's standards for work, and God's hope of eternal salvation. What a beautiful letter. It's just as much a blessing for us today as it was 2,000 years ago. Would you say amen to that? And you get number 19. Leaders should clearly correct and encourage their followers. And our dear brother Paul has one more section of encouragement for the people of Thessalonica. Look at chapter 5 with me. Now as to the times and epochs, brethren, you have no need of anyone to be written to you. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seeks after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen.